President Trump is getting a firsthand look at the U.S.-Mexico border. He's in McAllen, Texas today, home to the country's biggest immigration processing center.
The trip comes on the 20th day of the partial federal government shutdown. Trump has said it won't end until Democrats agree to the $5.7 billion he wants for the border wall. House Democrats voted to reopen the government last week, but Senate Republicans say the bill is a non-starter because it doesn't fund the wall.
Before leaving the White House this morning, Trump told reporters that his preference is to work out a deal with Congress, but that the option of bypassing lawmakers is still on the table.
I have the absolute right to declare this was passed by Congress. So when you say, was it passed by Congress? It was. Other presidents have used it, some fairly often. I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. I haven't done it yet. I may do it. If this doesn't work out, probably I will do it. I would almost say definitely.
So what would that mean? Priscilla Alvarez is a reporter with CNN who covers immigration. Priscilla, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into what an emergency declaration would mean, where the money might come from to build some kind of border wall or barrier in this scenario, what is the latest between President Trump and Democrats? No signs of movement there today, right?
No, so talks right now are largely at an impasse. What we've actually seen over the last few days is that each side is sort of buckling down on their position. So Republicans are really pushing for the border security. Trump has shown no sign of folding on his request for the $5.7 billion for his border wall. And Democrats, similarly, have no intention at this point of providing the funds for to meet that request. And so at the moment, there's no sign that talks are moving forward and that anything would come to fruition in Congress.
So when it comes to this idea of saying, okay, national emergency and we'll find the funds elsewhere, I know there are different legal opinions on the whole of when a national emergency can be declared, but what roughly does the president have the power to do?
So under a national emergency, the president can dip into some funds. And in this case, we're looking at the Department of Defense. And the reason why is the Department of Defense has actually helped in the past the Department of Homeland Security with some structures along the border, specifically the Army Corps of Engineers. And so what's happening here is we are assuming that what they're going to be looking at in a declaration of a national emergency is Department of Defense funds. And there is actually a statute that does allow the president to dip into a pool of money for military construction projects in the event of a national emergency or declaration of war. And so it is under that statute that he would be able to find funds to put up a wall. And that is something that he's sort of been alluding to, saying directly that he could call a national emergency and get his wall. But we do not have a definitive yet on whether he will indeed do that.
In your reporting on this, you look at the various pools of money in the Department of Defense where this might come from. And there appears to be one where there's currently unspent money that seems like a likely target. What is that?
Yeah, so the unspent money is something that has gone back to prior years. So since around 2014, it's an accumulation of money that hasn't been spent, and that's what he can look to. Now, this money is money that in some cases has been promised, and so say that there is a project that is on the horizon, the Congress would have can say we've authorized for this money to go through to that, but the contract hasn't been signed and the funds have not been provided to that project yet. And so these are the unobligated funds. And so it is in those funds, in that big treasure trove of money that he could grab some of those to put toward his border wall.
And then the military, it sounds like, if I'm reading your reporting right, the military does keep some money on hand for emergencies, unexpected construction needs. What kind of things might that ordinarily be used for?
Yeah, so say that a natural disaster hits a military base and they have to repair the military base as a result of that. So things like that, but there you wouldn't sort of on contingency, you wouldn't know that that military base was going to be affected by a natural disaster, but that money is there in case that happens.
We're talking to Priscilla Alvarez from CNN, talking about the possibility of the president declaring a national emergency and dipping into Department of Defense money, potentially to pay for at least some of the border wall or barrier that he's hoping to build, especially in the event that he can't arrive at a deal with Congress to fund that. So, Priscilla, if the president did dip into this Department of Defense money, potentially it could be used to build a wall at the expense of something else that the Department of Defense was expecting to use it for.
Yes, that is what could happen. It could be diverting the funds diverting funds that would have otherwise gone to other military projects that would instead be put toward the wall. Again, we don't have any specificity as to exactly which projects this would touch, or if he even intends on doing this at this point. But that is what could happen, certainly.
Now, of course, we can't read the minds of anybody involved in this standoff, but is it a possibility that the president is pointing toward this emergency declaration as maybe a bargaining chip, something hoping to keep Democrats at the table for negotiations?
His statements today indicate that he certainly sees this in the realm of possibility. So he knows he has the authority to declare a national emergency and has been repeating it more now as talks has sort of deteriorated over the week. He continues to say that he is still wants to find a solution in Congress. But as far as using it as a bargaining chip, that is sort of perhaps something that would be discussed behind the scenes. I can't say with certainty that that's what it's being used as. What we do know is that he sees it as an authority of his. This is something that has been discussed among officials, and it kind of depends on how things go in Congress in the next few days.
Now, do we have any idea of what constitutes an emergency for the president's ability to declare a state of national emergency? Do there have to be certain preconditions met?
That's something I've been talking to legal experts about. As far as I understand, it is fairly broad. But what legal experts have all pointed and said is, what's really going to matter here is when he declares a national emergency, how does he define that emergency? What exactly is at risk here? How does the administration lay that out? And in looking at that, certainly it might welcome some legal challenges, but that's going to be the one big thing to look at is when he declares it, how exactly does he define it? And how does it warrant what he's asking for?
Right. Some people have been pointing toward the couple of years where we had President Trump and a Republican majority in Congress, in both chambers of Congress, and none of this border wall funding then, and asking, okay, what's the difference between now and the last 2 years that makes this period of time an emergency? Is that an argument people are having? Is that something that would make any difference in a court?
People are having that conversation as far as apprehension numbers. This is something that we've seen administration officials talk a lot about. So something that they've continued to say is that there is an uptick from 2017 when we've seen a historic low. Within the grander context, of course, in the early 2000s, we saw apprehensions topping a million. So those figures are ones that the administration has pointed to as saying that right now things are worse off than they have been. It is important in taking those statements and looking at them within the larger context. As far as the lawsuits, a lot of that is, going to depend again on how it is defined and also who is at injury here. So is there any potential of the border wall being constructed on private property, in which case that opens up eminent domain, and whether there are private individuals suing to keep their property. Again, I want to clear up, though, that situation is not one that is just related to the national emergency. That can happen in any instance. But those are the types of conversations that will be occurring in the event that a wall goes up.
We're talking about the possibility of funding a southern border wall without congressional approval with a declaration of emergency, potentially something the president has talked about. Priscilla Alvarez is with us, reporter with CNN who covers immigration issues.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the idea of President Trump bypassing Congress to get the wall? Do you see the border situation as a national emergency or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're continuing our discussion on border wall funding and the possibility of President Trump declaring a national emergency to get around Congress.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the notion of using military funds to build the wall? Should the president continue to work with Congress to try to secure the $5.7 billion in funding he wants, or do you see that as a lost cause? What questions do you have about the president's ability to call a national emergency or what he can do in this situation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I would say that, yes, there's a national emergency right now, but it's not specific to a wall or to anything else. Our real national emergency is the fact that we are not able to talk to each other and we're not able to compromise. If it's not the wall this week, next week it's going to be the budget. If it's not the budget, it's going to be military spending. It's going to be taxation. People are so divided right now and without any ability to compromise or even talk to each other that the national emergency is the fact that as free people, we can't govern ourselves. And that is a true problem.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. And Priscilla, Charlie's talking about gridlock in Congress, the inability to compromise and work together. And if there's one issue that's a poster child for that, not just this year, but in, I don't know what, the last decade, two decades, it's immigration. What do you see in Congress when it comes to the divide over immigration policy?
Immigration policy has always been a complicated one in Congress. And what we've seen over the last years is that at any moment where one piece of legislation is introduced to reform some part of immigration, so for example, I'm thinking about the DREAM Act, which would be to provide a legal path to citizenship for DACA recipients. Those types of situations often welcome other measures to reform the immigration system. And what happens in those scenarios is that you have a lot of different reforms that come to the table where Democrats and Republicans may not agree. And so it creates just more gridlock, really, and doesn't provide much room for immigration reform to move forward. So this is something that has been ongoing for years. It was difficult to pass reform in the Bush era. It was difficult under Obama. And currently, with the highly partisan nature of Congress, one would expect that it would only get more difficult, more challenging right now.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We're next to Mike with us in Lake Mills. Mike, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. My question is, if this gives the president the power over the military money, but does it give him the power over the military to deploy troops?
Mike, thanks for the call. Priscilla?
So that's a great question. What I can say is based off my own reporting, which is that it would give him direct money over the direct control over the money in these coffers, and that in turn would task the military with some projects. But that is the most that I can speak to on that matter, though it is a good question.
Thanks for the call. And Priscilla, that reminds me, you wrote about the future if, say, the Army Corps of Engineers is building barriers, walls, structures, whatever we want to call them. Then does the military maintain them? Does the military control them, patrol them? Those are also open questions, right?
Well, this is something that works in conjunction with DHS. We don't know what this is going to look like in the event of a national emergency. For example, as you raise, is DOD going to take control over parts of the border? Will DHS continue its functions, and DOD will supplement them by building additional barriers? We don't know the answer to those yet.
Go back to our callers now. Debbie is with us in Dodgeville. Debbie, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Debbie?
Well, I just think, I don't think it's a state of, an emergency at all. If it's the emergencies I see in this country is Medicare, Medicaid for people that don't have anything, their billions of dollars should go for that instead of a wall to try to keep people out, because people are going to get in any way they can if they want.
Debbie, thanks a lot for the call. Are we hearing Democrats objecting to the idea of declaring a state of emergency along those grounds, saying this isn't really an emergency, Priscilla?
Yeah, I mean, Democrats are opposed to the idea to push back against declaring a national emergency because they simply don't see it that way. And again, they point to some of the data which shows that we do have a shift of the population of those that are being apprehended at the border. They are families and children, and they should be looked at in sort of a humanitarian way and sort of acknowledging that there are push factors in Central America that are driving them up to the border. But they, so at least as far as the national emergency and the border security and the it possibly creating a national threat, they have pushed back against that idea.
Thanks for the call. We are talking to Priscilla Alvarez, immigration reporter with CNN, looking at the latest in the border security debate. President Trump saying if Congress and he can't arrive at a deal to end the shutdown and fund the border wall to the tune of over $6 billion, he probably in some cases, or he said definitely in some cases, would use some sort of national emergency declaration to use military money to build at least some of a border structure. Back to your calls now. John is with us in Shell Lake. John, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there's any national emergency at all. I think if you take the statistics that Trump spouts, which are almost all lies, and I only use the word almost in case I missed something somewhere that was the truth. The wall is a moronic idea. I've seen videos on television of what parts of the wall that do exist, of people sneaking up to it with portable acetylene torches, cutting holes in it, people running through it. They've already proven that with GPS and stuff, they can tunnel from Tijuana to San Diego and come up through the floor in any storage unit that they want to. I mean, a wall is just absurd. But my second point is, when they arrested El Chapo and froze his assets, if I remember right, that number that they froze or confiscated from him was like $140 or $240 billion. Whose pocket did that money go into? It's enough money to build six or eight of those walls.
John, thanks for the call. I don't know if you followed that particular story of El Chapo and where his money went, Priscilla. But to his first point, there is still debate on whether a physical structure, a wall, a barrier, is the best way to boost border security. What are some of the arguments there?
So CBP has said over time that there are certainly areas of the border where it helps to have some barriers erected. And again, we shouldn't forget that there is some variation of fencing along some 650 miles of the border. But what we are seeing now, which is particularly interesting and unique, is that the people that are approaching the border, again, going back to those families and children, are presenting themselves to Border Patrol agents or trying to come through ports of entry, not evading capture. So assuming that more miles are built of the wall that Trump wants, what you would see in this scenario is likely people going to ports of entry, as some already have, to claim asylum. That is the key here, and something that the government has also noted is that there has been a big increase in claims of asylum. So we do know that there are areas where it could be helpful based off CBP's plans, but we also know that it wouldn't necessarily just end the flow altogether, or at least that is the assumption based on how many people are here to claim asylum and, with that said, present themselves to CBP.
In our last few moments, Priscilla, we've been in this deadlock in the same position for a while, and yet it seems like in some ways the story is constantly changing. What is the next thing you're watching for now?
So right now we're basically watching whether there will be any budging in Congress on either end, whether there's any possibility of a deal in Congress, and whether this ramps up the possibility of a national emergency.
We'll leave it there for now. Priscilla, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Priscilla Alvarez. She's an immigration reporter with CNN. We talked with her about the possibility of President Trump declaring a national emergency. She's been reporting on this. The goal would be to pay for a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. We've been talking about how that might actually work.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we're in the midst of a partial shutdown of the federal government. But shutdowns haven't always been a part of the political landscape. An expert on the federal budget gives us the history and evolution of the shutdown.
Peter Sagal from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, joins the show. He is a radio person like me. Unlike me, he really likes to go running. He likes it a lot, so much he just came out with a whole book, a memoir about his love of running. He'll join the show and talk about why he likes to run.
And on this week's edition of Food Friday, food science expert Dr. Stu tells us about the science of spices and how we can get the most flavor in our cooking.
We've talked to Dr. Stu a couple times in the past about food science. It's always a lot of fun. Looking forward to learn what I'm doing wrong with my spices when I'm cooking. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.